You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
May the 12th, 2021, an airstrike launched by Israel, as you were hearing a moment ago on the network news, did take out a Hamas Gaza City commander. That's a substantial blow to the Palestinian militant group's leadership. He is the first, and I should say the highest ranking military figure in Hamas to be killed by Israel since 2014. They got him and several of those who were with him. All of this, of course, happening because Hamas started some violence they thought would work to their benefit and lost control of it. If you missed the interview we had in the preceding hour with David Wormser, Center for Security Policy, I strongly encourage you to pull up that podcast and listen to that interview in its entirety and share it with many others for the background and where we stand now. One of the things we do know, Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu says Israel will, quote, stop the anarchy one way or the other, and that Israel will use, quote, an iron fist if needed to put an end to all of this. Overnight, 500 rockets from Hamas rained down on Israeli territory. 500. And Iran, I should say, from Hamas, and Hamas then quickly thanked Iran for supplying them with such good weapons. And the Joe Biden administration wants to make friends and be buddy-buddy with Iran. He has finally made a move regarding with the violence going on right now in the Middle East between Hamas and Israel. U.S. Secretary of State Blinken announcing we're sending Hadi Amar, a State Department official, to go talk to Netanyahu. That's not going to go well. Hadi Amar is a known opponent of Israel. A history of anti-Israeli views. He often has said in the past that one of the issues with Israel, they carry out ethnic cleansing. And he appears to justify Palestinian violence against Israelis. That's who the Biden administration is sending, thinking it's going to make things better. In the meantime, Biden is getting a lot of criticism from at least Republican members in Congress. Senator Hagerty of Tennessee, Republican, said the Biden administration should strongly condemn Hamas, but of course they're not. A member of the House Armed Services Committee, Congressman Michael Waltz, Republican of Florida, said the Biden administration is, quote, giving away all leverage right up front. Though what they'll try to do is hand out cash to fix the situation. Yep, that's pretty much what they do. We have a major gas shortage that's going to continue until we get that Colonial Pipeline fully back in service, the one that got hacked the other day. And now the government's trying to tell everybody, don't panic, but it's already past that point. The EPA recognizes what is needed, so it is beginning and issuing an emergency fuel waiver that should help with some fuel shortages. Those states will be able to sell gasoline that normally would not be allowed due to ozone pollution regulations. They'll be able to sell them until May 31, 2021. But already gas stations, not only in the Northeast, but along the Eastern Coast and Southeast are running out of fuel. 73% of gas stations in Pensacola, Florida affected. 72% of gas stations in Raleigh, North Carolina. 71% of stations in Metro Charlotte, North Carolina. And in fact, police in Charlotte, North Carolina, are telling residents, limit your travel to non-essential travel. 20 Republican governors urging the Biden administration, you got to do more to deal with the crisis of the southern border. It's too big to ignore. It's spilling over the border states into all of our states. South Dakota, Georgia, Iowa, Nebraska, New Hampshire. 172,000 migrants illegally coming into the nation in March. The Biden administration, there's no crisis. Homeland Security Secretary saying we're going to invest in tackling the root causes. And that, again, means giving money to the Northern Triangle countries. They think that'll stop it. Right. Always money. Who's going to pay for it? There's a national gun rights organization that says it has a mission to help responsible Americans keep loved ones safe. They're launching a super PAC. It will push for concealed carry reciprocity, just as your driver's license is recognized all across the nation, so would your right to carry a gun. It's a good idea. It's a great idea. We just need to make sure we get it passed as soon as possible.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Most of us are taking precautions to avoid COVID in public, but what are you doing to make sure your home is free of COVID? Wellington Environmental is the answer. And here's the great news. Wellington's average cost to professionally treat a home, less than $300. Less than $300. And the cost for treating most offices, not much higher. Be ready to copy a phone number to get on the schedule as soon as possible. First, let me remind you, if you want your own professional fogging device, Wellington sells them, priced $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors, save $100. If you want your home or office professionally disinfected by Wellington, here's the number, 314-644-4930. Again, get on the schedule early, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing. Covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
When it snows, let's say, it'll rain a sunless day. I know, shining down like water.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
For years, Dr. Ralph Barrick, a virologist in the U.S., has been collaborating with Dr. Shi Zengli of the Wuhan Virology Institute, sharing his discoveries about how to create superviruses. This gain-of-function research has been funded by the NIH. Dr. Fauci, do you still support funding of the NIH funding of the lab in Wuhan?
Senator Paul, with all due respect, you are entirely and completely incorrect that the NIH has not ever and does not now fund gain-of-function research in the Wuhan Institute.
Do they fund Dr. Barrick?
We do not fund.
Do you fund Dr. Barrick's gain-of-function research?
Dr. Barrick does not doing gain-of-function research, and if it is, it's according to the guidelines, and it is being conducted in North Carolina. If you look at the grant and you look at the progress reports, it is not gain of function, despite the fact that people tweet that,
so
they write about it.
They lie about it, they tweet about it. That's Dr. Fauci. And state-controlled media is rushing to his side, saying, how dare Senator Rand Paul, who has a doctor title, but he's just, as they point out, by Anderson Cottonmouth Cooper, because every time he opens his mouth, there's poison coming out. But calling Rand Paul, he's just an ophthalmologist. Kind of reminds me of that Seinfeld episode. Well, the guy you're seeing, Elaine, not really a doctor, he's a dentist. And then Seinfeld being accused of being an anti-dentite. So apparently Cooper, Cottonmouth, is anti-ophthalmologist. But the situation is more serious, obviously. And did you take note of the fact that Dr. Fauci did say that if there is, quote, gain-of-function research underway. It's being done in North Carolina. Wow. Anybody in North Carolina, are you waking up to that? And are you checking into it? What do they mean by gain-of-function research, which was being done at the Wuhan lab? And Fauci is saying, if it's being done, it's being done in North Carolina. Gain-of-function research works on making pathogens deadlier and more easily transmitted. That's gain-of-function research. So Senator Rand Paul, Republican Kentucky, in a congressional hearing with Dr. Fauci, going after him and asking those kinds of direct, hard questions. Part of that is all tied to a piece written by Nicholas Wade for 30-plus years, the science editor at the New York Times, and did his own piece for a different publication talking about the origin of COVID coming out of Wuhan and what was being done. And in fact, in his report and in the information he released, he clearly said, yeah, there was a lot of this taking place at Wuhan, and Fauci knew it. In fact, a quote we ran from the interview with him yesterday basically was that experiments were funded by American tax dollars while Wuhan lab was conducting experiments on how to make bat viruses infections to human beings. Funded by American tax dollars, funding for those experiments approved, directed by Tony Fauci in Washington. Those are the words directly from Tucker Carlson the other night as he was discussing the Nicholas Wade article. So Fauci, as head of the National Institutes of Health, if money was coming from it, as you heard Rand Paul say, well, one of the main researchers in the Wuhan lab, the so-called bat lady, said, yeah, that's where we got our money. Why would she be lying about that? But Fauci firing back, Senator Paul, with all due respect, you're entirely and entirely completely incorrect. We never have funded functional research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Now, by that answer, does he mean we didn't give money specifically for that research, but we did give money that was in some kind of conglomerate that went into the Wuhan Institute? And you didn't know what they're doing with your money? Is that going to be the next claim? But I want you to keep in mind what's happening as we've got Senator Rand Paul raising questions, simply trying to say there have been a lot of stories going around about what Fauci either knew in advance or how involved he was or was not in what was going on with that research at the Wuhan lab, and how for 2 months he seemed to be behind the eight ball and never giving us correct information, even to the point of saying mask or nothing. Don't even bother getting a mask. For 2 months, he told us, and then suddenly turned around and said, oh, yeah, I think you should. So Anderson Cottonmouth Cooper had on his program last night Senator Tina Smith, Democrat of Minnesota. And, of course, she also takes offense that Senator Rand Paul would dare question Dr. Fauci.
Dr. Fauci, what is the impact of conspiracy theories peddled by Senator Rand Paul and others on Americans' willingness to take this vaccine? A vaccine that, by all accounts, is remarkable for its safety and efficacy.
Well, conspiracy theories certainly are not helpful in what we're trying to do. I guess I can say that with some degree of confidence.
Yeah, that was her question to Dr. Fauci, and it was a set-up softball. How bad do these conspiracy theories hurt us as we're trying to deal with this? And he said, well, I think I can say with a certain degree of certainty that, yes, that's not helpful. I mean, between Senator Tina Smith, Democrat of Minnesota, and Anderson Cottonmouth Cooper, they were just almost in tears over the way Dr. Fauci was being treated.
He's an ophthalmologist. You would think that he would have more respect, at least for medical science. Dr. Fauci, he later told CNN's Dr. Sanjay Gupta that he thinks senators might be playing to the cameras. It certainly, that could certainly be it. The idea that Fauci is somehow a villain to Trump-allied politicians, what does one even say to that idea?
Well, I know. And let's be honest. I mean, this is not the first time that Senator Paul has done this. He does this over and over again. It's sort of his favorite ploy. So, I mean, that's the problem. And here we have Dr. Fauci, who has basically dedicated his life to science, to protecting Americans' health, and to be maligned like this. It must get pretty exhausting, I think. But, and you know, the point of this, of course, is that we have serious business to do in the health committee. We have the, we have variants that are springing up. We are trying to get, how do we get to increasing vaccination uptakes in this country? We have questions about how young people are going to be adapting to taking this vaccine now that it's approved for children. So we have serious business to be doing, and not just sort of this kind of play to the camera that I think we saw today and we see, frankly, too often.
My God, I cannot believe a Democrat senator said we have politicians playing to the camera, like that's brand new information. Both sides play to the camera when they can. Whether or not you want to accuse Rand Paul of doing that this time, it's a hard question to Dr. Fauci. Is that playing to the camera? I would think really playing to the camera is making himself, Rand Paul, look really smart, very smart, more smart, let's put it that way, than Dr. Fauci. I'm just an ophthalmologist, but I know a lot more about virology than you ever will. Now, that would be playing to the camera. He's asking questions and challenging the answers he's getting because they don't seem to match the facts. But, of course, on the left, they don't really care about the facts if it ruins the narrative. But, as I said, they were almost, Senator Smith and Anderson Cottonmouth Cooper, almost slobbering over them, each other about how poor Fauci was under attack, and then Anderson Cottonmouth thought, well, you just got to keep in mind, again, Fauci's, what he's done for us.
We should also point out Dr. Fauci, in his exchange with Senator Paul, did stress that he fully supports further investigations, the origins of COVID-19. What more do you want to know about what happened in Wuhan?
Well, I, of course, want to understand how this happened and what. And there is an investigation that's going on right now. So I think that that's very, very important. I think that we need to understand from a scientific basis also what happened. But to somehow impugn the credibility of Dr. Fauci for whatever reason is just completely unacceptable.
Does a woman not get it? It was not a matter of impugning his integrity or credibility at that point, not that prime purpose. The point was, have we been supporting this kind of research in the Wuhan lab? Have we been helping the Chinese develop something like this that either got out of control or they lost the direction on when they were going to go with it? The Nicholas Wade article I was telling you about earlier, the New York Times editorial, science editor for 30-plus years, said that among the first deaths, they were members of that lab. So they knew it was a deadly event. And if we were funding, as they call it, looking for the term again being gain of function research, how we can use this to make it more deadly. So Senator Rand Paul appearing later after the exchange and questioning of Dr. Fauci in the Senate hearing, later appearing on Fox News, and got this question.
What is your current theory today, you know, as to how COVID started?
I would say we don't know for certain, but I would say what Dr. Fauci said yesterday was verifiably false. He said no NIH money went to the Wuhan Institute for gain of function. Well, the main doctor there, the one they call the bat scientist or the bat woman, is a woman named Dr. Shi Zengali. She wrote a paper that MIT scientists have looked at that they said was gain of function, meaning juicing up these viruses to make them very potent and infect humans. She wrote this paper, and in the paper acknowledged that her funding came from Dr. Fauci's group, the NIAID, which is part of NIH.
So again, was the doctor lying in her report? Or was she being exactly correct? And now Fauci is saying, well, that's not what we sent the money for. Oh, we didn't do it. We did not fund that. And if anything like that's underway, it's going on in North Carolina. Now, that should be looked at a little closer. If I'm in North Carolina, I want to know, what the hell are you guys doing in our state here? What are you doing? But on top of that, I don't want to be working with the Chinese of the future anymore on any of this stuff. And again, Senator Rand Paul talking about this Batwoman scientist that was giving them these kinds of details and what was happening in the lab.
She wrote a paper that MIT scientists have looked at that they said was gain of function, meaning juicing up these viruses to make them very potent and infect humans. She wrote this paper, and in the paper acknowledged that her funding came from Dr. Fauci's group, the NIAID, which is part of NIH. So he's verifiably telling you something that is not true. Now, he may be quibbling and saying they weren't doing gain of function or they weren't supposed to, but we've looked at the grant application. In the grant application, we have a cellular biologist from Rutgers who says the grant application is for gain of function, juicing up these viruses. So Dr. Fauci came to Congress yesterday and lied. We can't prove the virus came from the lab. I'm not saying it did. I'm saying there is very much suspicious evidence that it might have.
And it might have, and we need more evidence. Simple as that. But how dare you question Dr. Fauci? And what about kids and vaccines? How safe is that? Are you willing to move forward with that? Let's get into that subject after the break.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me excitations.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So one of the issues now is, do we vaccinate children? Now, we've been told from the beginning by the CDC, if you're going to believe the science, kids are not the main transmission of COVID-19. But yet we've had them in masks, and we've had them dictated to be out of school and Zoom learning and everything. But now they're saying we're also wanting to vaccinate them. The CDC has said the kids aren't the main spread. But then again, if your child has some kind of immune disorder or something, then maybe you need to consider a shot. Well, government regulators just approving yesterday that Pfizer can begin to offer its vaccine to those 12 to 15. It's authorized for an emergency use in that age group. And already, providers in Delaware and Arkansas are moving forward with it. Georgia also doing so. So one set of parents showing up at the hospital for one of the shots to show up so they can get their children started. They have twin 13-year-old girls, and the mother is very happy they're doing it. You go from Georgia to Texas, and there's a family there talking to a TV station. They have seven kids and say it's been a scary year for all these kids, but as soon as I can get them for the vaccine, I'm going to do it. Again, the Pfizer vaccine now authorized for use in children aged 12 to 15. We had no long-term studies. I'm not trying to frighten you or scare you. I'm just giving you a fact. We don't have any long-term studies on these, on the effect of anyone, much less kids, now or down the road for them. And in fact, Dr. Jason Turk, a pediatrician at Cook Children's Network, said parents do need to keep in mind, because these are new, we don't have enough information about how they perform when other vaccines are given at the same time or around the same time. So I'm urging parents, do not get your children a COVID vaccination if there are other vaccinations within 2 weeks on either side of it. That's his belief, that it should be followed to that extent. You're going to have to make the decision you want for your family and what you want to do. Some parents have already acknowledged in a New York Times article they're not anti-vaccine, they're just hesitant, especially when it comes to for their kids. And again, if the child does not have some condition that might make them more vulnerable for any kind of influenza or project, I should say, or issue that might cause them more harm, then yeah, you're probably going to want to do it. A new poll just out says 30% of parents say they're ready to get their kids vaccinated right away. But parents of infants and preschoolers are a little bit more concerned. 12 to 15 is what Pfizer's now approved for. And, of course, also on up for that age. But those below, they're not so sure what they want to do. Could it be that they've heard so much from the CDC and it gets conflicting that they don't know and they obviously are very concerned about their kids? I just told you yesterday that a New York Times report, pointing out that the CDC statement about getting coronavirus outside was greatly exaggerated. The CDC has told everyone, even if you're outside, you need to be wearing a mask. Contrary to Dr. Fauci in the very beginning saying a mask won't do you any good. Now he says maybe you need two. Maybe you're not going to wear them forever, for a long time anyway. And outside, you still need them because the CDC estimated, while it might not be great, the transmission possibility could be 10%. Well, that's way off. The new study, the CDC admitting, yeah, the Journal of Infectious Diseases, even though it published also the 10% and news reports went the same, now it's not really up to 10% possibility. It's 1% or less, and in fact, it might be 0.1% possibility. So there's no doubt parents are concerned, rightly so. Do I get my kids vaccinated? Coming up, the impact of moving the MLB All-Stars game is still causing enormous issues.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around, oh, they're 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed and at the same time will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler is still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com.
There's no place to hide down here. No place to hide down here. Went to the rock, got on my knees. I heard the angels weep for me. No place to hide down here.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
To take $100 million out of the economy of Atlanta that's trying to recover, you know, from the COVID-19 pandemic, just was a slap in the face to common sense thinking Georgians and Americans, but particularly black entrepreneur and business owners in Atlanta that will, in fact, be economically crushed as a consequence.
Those are the words of Ken Blackwell, former Secretary of State of Ohio, former mayor of Cincinnati, did run as the first African-American Republican in Ohio to become governor, did not win. He is a shareholder in the Cincinnati Reds. And he's not happy that MLB decided to move the All-Star game from Atlanta to Denver. As he said, it's a slap in the face to black entrepreneurs and business owners. The MLB, under pressure, I should add, from Stacey Abrams of Georgia and others, including Al Sharpton, saying, you got to move the game from Georgia because the Republicans have passed election laws that are relics of Jim Crow laws. They're disenfranchising black voters, and you can't have that game here. And in fact, if you try to have the game here in Atlanta, you're going to have a lot of the black players boycott, and they won't show up. So you're not really going to have an all-star game. The commissioner made his decision. Robert Manfred, he made the decision to move it from Atlanta to Denver, Colorado. He didn't consult with other owners. He just made the decision after listening to Stacey Abrams and others. And Abrams almost immediately started saying, oh, well, maybe you shouldn't run the game. Don't take the game. I mean, she knew the economic impact. And here you have Ken Blackwell, again, as I say, a shareholder of the Cincinnati Reds, in that interview on Breitbart News, saying it was stupid on its face, taking $100 million out of the economy of Atlanta as it's trying to recover from the pandemic. And going to Denver, the game and the location at Coors Park is not going to help black-owned businesses that much or black citizens of Denver, which are considerably fewer than what you've got in Atlanta. MLB, meanwhile, in making this decision, they're still trying to find, you know, that we're still looking good. We're looking good. They are pointing out that they are saying that we've already had 1.3 billion minutes of streaming through our first 3 weekends of the 2021 season. A 12% increase. And again, that story goes back to April 19, so I don't know what's been since then, but they were quick to point out that time, April 19, and they made the decision to move the All-Star game, April 2nd, that we were still seeing a lot of folks be there for us to watch the game on video streaming in one source or another. So now the July 13 game that was scheduled to be at Atlanta Braves Park is now going to be at Coors Field in Colorado. Republican lawmakers criticized the move, and they did threaten to revoke antitrust laws that favor the MLB. Morning Consult, a research company, estimated that the favorability rating for MLB fell 35 points among Republicans by that decision. The test will be as they go through the season. Now, many of the parks are beginning to say, we're going to open up and allow more folks in. They're ready to move past the COVID thing. Of course, they are moving forward now. They're now trying to do a 162-game schedule this season after a 60-game campaign in 2020 due to the pandemic. So they're still moving forward the best they can. If the viewership is going to be there, which is big, and those in the stands, if they allow more into the game. But when you listen to Ken Blackwell, as I said, a Republican, black Republican who ran for governor in Ohio, did not get that, but was the Secretary of State of Ohio, and is a minority owner, a shareholder, I should say, in the Cincinnati Reds. He said this decision, again, that MLB made, that they kind of were pushed around by the woke culture and making that decision, he calls out Manfred directly. Ken Blackwell calls out directly Robert Manfred's decision.
I thought this was stupid on his face. He was uninformed, and his misinformation, his inadequacy led to a Major League Baseball decision that just didn't make sense. I mean, just think about it. If you do a side-by-side comparison of the election laws in Colorado versus the election laws in Georgia, there's almost not a dime's bit of difference between the two.
But, of course, that's not the way it was being framed by the progressive left at the time. They have more voting days in Georgia than the state of Delaware, Biden's home state. They have more than New York state. They already had voter ID in place in Georgia. The only thing they added was, if you're going to get an absentee ballot, we need to see a voter ID, some kind of ID to prove you are who you are, if we're going to send it to that address. And they increased the number of drop ballot boxes, but making sure they were more secure. But, of course, the storyline that got pushed repeatedly is that folks are going to die waiting in line to vote in Georgia. They won't be able to allow, they can't have water, they can't have food, as if they're going to be out there for days, they're going to die because of no food. You'll die of lack of food or water while you're waiting to vote. That was the impression they were wanting you to believe. Now, if you're standing in a long line in on a hot day in Georgia, hot, humid day, yeah, it's going to be uncomfortable. But if you view your right, your privilege to vote is just that, then you're going to stand there and do it. But nobody's asking you to die. In fact, water could be brought by those in line for themselves. They could bring their own food. Those associated with the poll watching and so forth could also supply it or make it available. They were just trying to stop anyone representing a candidate or a campaign issue from going down the line to offer food and water, maybe in exchange for a vote, or at least to sway someone. That is standard effort to stop electioneering within a certain distance of a voting poll. Standard. But the MLB got sold. This is bad. You got to go. And in fact, again, Ken Blackwell, African-American owner, shareholder in the Cincinnati Reds, Republican at one time for Ohio governor, said the MLB failed its fiduciary obligations. He said directors of corporations and businesses have a fiduciary responsibility to protect the interests of their shareholders and to position the company in great position among its consumers. This is a violation of both. And, of course, when it came to that argument, the claim from the progressives that the Georgia law as passed by Republicans was a return to Jim Crow laws, racism, disenfranchisement of black Americans. Blackwell, a black American himself, had this response.
It is false, it is foolish, and it must be thrown into the ash bin of history. Look, Satchel Paige once said, don't look back, you're not going in that direction. And so, you know, America must understand that this year we're celebrating our 245th year of existence as a you know, constitutional republic. And we haven't always been perfect, but we have, in fact, understood that we can make things better, and we have. And we've seen, particularly as it relates to race, we've seen things get better and better and better.
And in fact, Blackwell also said the Democrats For the People Act, the For the People Act, you know, that they're trying to push through to federalize all elections, partly as a response to the Georgia election law. And he says that is nothing more than an attempted federal takeover of the elections with the intent to, quote, transform America into a permanent one-party socialist nation. And many agree with his assessment. That is all they're trying to do. It's not a matter of, quote, protecting voters. It's to gain control of voters. You're just one step away from telling them if you're going to vote, you vote this way and only this way, and we're going to watch how you vote, and if you don't vote how we tell you, there will be repercussions. You were getting that close to it, if they continue that route. All right, you're hearing about the shortages and concerns, but there's a shortage that just popped up. This one, could this be the end of the world? Stand by.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Of course, you know that Twitter banned Donald Trump, permanently suspended from Twitter, saying that he was using Twitter to incite violence. Remember those words, incite violence? And Facebook did the same thing. And Facebook is supposed to review its decision in 6 months because they even went against their own policy, according to their oversight board. They didn't do it properly. But they were right to do so. They didn't do it properly. Now, against that backdrop, and we repeated, I should say, reported on this numerous times of similar cases, that while they're on Trump for that, they allow the Hollywood elite to say anything in any way they want, inciting violence even to the point of chopping off Donald Trump's head, or kidnapping his kids and turning them over to a den of pedophiles, that's all acceptable. And now, another prime example, which has happened previously as well. Iran's Ayatollah tweeting out, referencing battling the conflict between Israel and the Palestinians and rockets, mortars, drones being fired back and forth. The Ayatollah of Iran tweeting out, Zionists turned occupied Palestine into a base for terrorism. Israel isn't a country. It's a terrorist camp against Palestinians and other Muslim nations. Fighting this despotic regime is fighting against oppression and terrorism. And this is everyone's responsibility. I don't see Twitter shutting him down. He's done similar previously, urging Palestinian attacks on Israeli citizens, much less the state of Israel. There's a new NBC News poll that found that the majority of Americans, would this include you, the majority of Americans use social media at least once a day. 66%. Say they use it at least once a day. Now, I'm thinking many of those of you listening, you're using it to pick up the podcast, Larry Connors USA, right? Or go to our YouTube channel, Larry Connors USA YouTube. If you're doing it for that reason, that's a very good reason. But also within the question was, do you think social media platforms, do they help unite the nation or divide it more? 77% of Republicans said it divides the nation more. 65% of the independents said that. 54% of Democrats agreed. Overall, 64% of Americans do think social media platforms divide us rather than unite us. There's also a question about just of the adults, just dealing with adults believing the platforms work to unite Americans. Black respondents, according to the NBC News survey, were different than what they might have expected. 42% of black Americans responding say, yes, these outlets are more divisive. 40% say more unifying. So that might be within the range of error one way or the other, but 42% say these are divisive. And now, as I told you earlier, we have shortages. And inflation is coming. The Biden administration will blame it on the hacking of the Colonial Pipeline. We'll say, well, because we had the pipeline hacked and 45% of the fuel that normally gets delivered to the Northeast and elsewhere on the East Coast suddenly not available. And so prices will be going up, and then delivery of supplies will be more expensive. Just trying to get from here to there will be more expensive. Restaurants have been dealing with some shortages previously anyway. Chick-fil-A is among them. Yes, Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A is facing a shortage. They've got something like 2,600 restaurants. It's not a shortage of chicken. Many companies are having a shortage of chicken. Chick-fil-A has the chicken. They got the chicken. And that makes the cows, of course, very happy, as you know, with the Chick-fil-A commercials. They're very happy. Eat more chicken. So they have the chicken. But they have a major shortage to the extent that they have given directions to employees at all the Chick-fil-A restaurants. Give a customer only one. Only one. Only one what? Chick-fil-A sauce. They have a shortage of Chick-fil-A sauce, and they're telling their 2,600 restaurants, for all the employees, you can only give one sauce package per food item ordered. I can't go by that. I mean, come on. I mean, one pack won't even get me through one piece of chicken normally. This is outrageous. I'm going to put my foot down and demand. This is discriminatory. I want my Chick-fil-A sauce. You give it to me now. And, of course, the one behind me will be hollering, if you give him more than one, I want more. And then pretty soon we're going to have a riot at Chick-fil-A. It could be the beginning of the apocalypse. And in the future, they'll look back and say it all came down to no Chick-fil-A sauce? Maybe. Maybe not. As always, thanks for listening. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.